So our first reading is Romans 12, verses 3 to 13. Let us now read the word of the living and the true God. For by the grace given me rightly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Our second reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. It's right towards the end of the New Testament. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Abigail. Well, good morning. My name's Scott. If I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you over morning tea a little bit later. And welcome to church today. It'd be really handy if you've got those passages open, either in your Bibles or on your phones. You'll notice inside your handout today, there's a sermon outline. There's a little QR code at the bottom. If you scan that, that'll bring up those parts of Scripture. Well, this is God's Word, and so why don't we ask him to help us by his Spirit to understand it, to receive it, and respond in faith. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray this morning you help us see wonderful things in it. We ask that you would renew our minds and transform our hearts this morning. Amen. Well, it was a Sunday morning, and after welcoming people and starting the service, Pastor Jim couldn't help but notice that something was just a little bit off, a little bit different that Sunday. He really couldn't put his finger on it. But there was something definitely unusual about his congregation that particular day. While he was preaching, he was trying to figure out what it was, and he noticed actually that church was looking very colourful. And people, instead of sort of button-up shirts and trousers and dresses, they're all wearing polos and T-shirts and sports skirts and shorts. He could see that all the people in the front row, they were wearing, you know, sports shoes, tennis shoes. And even a couple of people had like a sweatband around their forehead. And Pastor Jim just couldn't figure out what was going on. And so as the service finished and people headed out, he thought for morning tea, he noticed everyone sort of bent down under their seats and picked up a tennis racket. And they all headed, instead of going to the morning tea, they just went straight out the door and headed across the road to where the tennis courts were. Matthew's sort of shuffling out the door with her walker and this ancient old wooden tennis racket in the walker. And Pastor Jim says to her, "Mrs. Matthews, what's going on today? Why is everyone dressed like this and carrying tennis rackets?" "Well," said Mrs. Matthews, "it's because of your sermon last week." "My sermon?" said Pastor Jim. "Yes. Last week you told us we all need to come to church ready to serve." Well, both these passages we're looking at this morning teach us two things, and we've just got 2 points this morning. First, they teach us we need to think soberly, and secondly, they teach us we need to serve faithfully. So just those two points, let's look at the first, think soberly. Have a look there again at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. The end of all things is near. In other words, this world is coming to an end. Jesus is coming back soon. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind. Romans 12 verse 3 there. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Now, it's not the exact same Greek word in those two verses, but it's the same meaning in both those verses. To have a sober mind, to have clear thoughts, to have clear judgment that's not clouded or confused or wrong. See, Peter and Paul, writing these two letters, both know that one of the biggest blockers, the biggest barriers to people serving Christ is wrong thinking. And that it's because we have a tendency to think too highly of ourselves. See, first, we see that we are not our own. Have a look at Romans 12 and verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, many parts, and these members, these parts, do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. See, the first part in thinking soberly and thinking rightly about ourselves is to recognize that we are not our own. We actually belong to the community of God's people. We belong to a body, to the church. Now, this is a hard one for many modern Westerners to grasp, but it's hard for us because we live in such an individualistic society, don't we? But actually, you'll see on this map here, we've got a map, and the green countries are not individualistic cultures, but collectivistic cultures. So they're less thinking about the importance of me and more thinking about the importance of the collective, the body, the group. So these people from these cultures typically put the needs and the rights of the community over their own rights and needs as an individual. Whereas we in the West put the needs and the rights of the individual over and above the needs, and we are to be a collectivist culture. But unlike many collectivist cultures, where putting the community above the individual means that the individual suffers, in the church, putting the community above the needs of the individual is actually what's best for every individual. See, it's like a kidney in a body. It can't function by itself. And its function has to be a function for the good of the body. When the kidney's working well, the whole body is well. And actually, does the kidney benefit from that? Of course it does. If the whole body is well, then that's actually what's best for the kidney too. See, we are not our own. We need to put the needs of our community above our needs as an individual. And that actually doesn't mean we miss out. It actually is what's best for each one of us. See, if we're not our own, it also means that the gifts that we have are not meant for us. I remember years ago when one of my kids was young, they had a birthday party. And at the end of the birthday party, Keely had put together all these little lolly bags, these little party bags, and she gave them to our son and said, here, you give these to your friends. But after having received all of these presents, he couldn't quite understand why he was supposed to give them out. He thought they were for him. And so it took a while to convince him that actually, no, the purpose of these bags, these are not meant for you. I'm giving them to you now, but they're meant for your guests, for you to pass them on, to give them on again. Well, notice how strongly the language of gifts features in these passages. Have a look at 1 Peter 4, verse 7. Be alert and of sober mind so you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised. Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, don't think more highly than you ought. Think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Verse 5, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, each member belongs to all the others. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. See, we aren't our own. We belong to Christ and we belong to each other as a church. And neither are our gifts, our abilities, our resources, our skills, our possessions. See, we often think of these things as being ours, don't we? You know, my time, my money, my skills, my abilities, that's mine. And I use it when I want to, how I want to. They don't originate with us. They don't come from us. They are given to us. Whether that's skills or abilities, whether it's possessions or resources, whether it's time, our circumstances, they're God's gifts, his graces to us that he's distributed and provided. And why has he distributed them to us? Well, to use for others, to use for building up his church. See, we're not just talking about miraculous gifts here. You know, we see some lists in the New Testament, don't we, where we see some of the more miraculous gifts that came by the Spirit and were at work in the early church particularly strongly. That's not just talking about those kind of gifts, but actually here, gifts is kind of catching everything about you that you can possibly use for God's glory. Your time, your talents, your treasures, your skills, your abilities, your finances, the opportunities that he's given you where you can have some power to serve, to build, to encourage, to help someone else. See, we're not our own. These gifts we have weren't meant for us, which actually leads to a third point, which I think is really significant and we often don't realize, is that that means we're not free to waste them. Have a look at 1 Peter 4, verse 10 there. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And now in Australia, I imagine the vast majority of people in this room would have a superannuation account. As I'm sure most of us know, superannuation is that when you're employed by your employer and they have to put in a little bit of money each time you get paid, and over time, these superannuation funds are supposed to make that money work for you. They're supposed to invest it. They're supposed to make it grow. And can you imagine that you've entrusted your superannuation money, which is when you retire, to help you be able to live and survive, and you've entrusted it to a super fund to manage and look after and make your money work, and then one day you're coming time to retire and you go to a financial planner and you say, look, I'm just trying to figure out my retirement, and they have a look at your super fund and they realize that this super fund has not invested a cent of your money. They've just sat it there and done nothing with it. They haven't invested even in a bank to get some interest. Actually, what they've been doing is it's been sitting there and they've been charging you fees. It's actually been going down slightly over that time. Now, you'd be livid, wouldn't you? You know, they have no right to be entrusted with your money, under Australian law, they have to do everything they can to try and make that money work and grow. They haven't been good stewards of the funds that you've entrusted to them. See, and just like a super fund can't waste those funds entrusted to them, we can't waste the gifts entrusted to stewards. He's given us a responsibility to use what he's given us for his glory, to serve others. And so those skills that you have, the time that you have, the resources that you have, the relationships that you have, all of those things are from God, and he's entrusted you with them as a steward. And so our responsibility is to use them. We're not free to waste those gifts by doing nothing with them, by not using them the way God expects us to. Well, we must think soberly. We're not our own. These gifts we have weren't meant for us, and we're not free to waste them. So, the only option is to serve. So let us serve faithfully. Have there a look at Romans 12, verse 6 there. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. See, if you've got practical skills, this is kind of an if-then, right? If you have practical skills, then use those practical skills to serve. If you have people skills, and we've all got some people skills, use those to serve. If you have money, then use it to serve God's church. If you have a home, then use it to practice hospitality. If you have administrative skills, then use them to serve. If you have time, use that. See, whatever it is that you have, the if, well, the then is to use it. And these aren't exclusive, are they? They're not exclusive at all. It's not as if the person who gives, that's all they do. And the person who then leads doesn't give. And it's not as if the person who teaches doesn't serve in any other way, or the person who shows mercy. I mean, we all should show mercy, right? Are we all capable of showing mercy? Of course, we've received God's mercy. These things aren't exclusive, but what we're seeing here in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others, so that, verse 11, in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. See, God expects us to use all the gifts, all the resources and the power and the ability that he has given us to serve him. And we do that by serving others. We do that first and foremost in his church, his family, his body, building it up. And so the question I think we need to ask then is, how do we figure out, well, what are the gifts that God's given me? What are the gifts that's God given me to serve? You'll see there's part ability and part opportunity. Looked around and you've seen people and you see people doing different things. You think, man, God's really gifted those people. Really gifted that person and that person. And man, like he's given them incredible gifts to use to serve him. And I kind of just missed out. You know, I don't have any gifts. What have I got to offer? Have you ever felt like that? I'm sure lots of us have felt like that. Thinking that maybe it's best if we just kind of stay back out of the way and let the gifted people serve. That's not what God is teaching us here in his word. Actually, the language of each of you comes again and again, doesn't it? And that's because each of us has loads of gifts that God has given us as stewards of his grace to use for his glory by serving. We're reminded here that actually God's deliberately distributed them differently. So we're not all the same. We can't all do all the same roles. We can't just instantly plug a gap with just any person. No, God wonderfully has made us different so that we can all serve in our own ways. And like the parts of a body, when we do that, it actually just naturally works wonderfully. And so maybe you're bold. Maybe you're quiet. Well, if you're bold, use your boldness to serve Christ. And if you're quiet, use your quietness to serve Christ. Maybe you're technical. Maybe you're more relational. Maybe sticking you in front of a computer is the worst thing anyone can do to you. It's okay. If you're technical, use your technical skills to serve God. If you're more relational, use your relational skills to serve God. Maybe you're musical, maybe you're administrative. Maybe you're a team member, and maybe you're a team leader. Maybe you've been entrusted with great wealth, maybe you've been entrusted with very little wealth. Maybe you've got lots of time, maybe you're quite time poor. Maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a problem solver. Maybe you like to write, maybe you like to text. Maybe you like to get on the phone and have a call. Maybe you like to meet face to face and have a coffee. You might be arty, you might be dramatic, you might be good with numbers, you might be really logical, you might be really analytical, you might be really creative. You might be a huge mix of lots of those things. Every single one of those is God's gift that He's stewarded you, made you a steward of, to use, to serve for His glory. See, maybe you can't drive. Maybe you can only walk. Maybe you figure, actually, well, I can drop little leaflets and invitations in letterboxes. Maybe you can drive, and maybe there's someone in your growth group or someone that you know at church who has trouble getting to their doctor's appointments or getting out to get the groceries. Maybe you can cater for hundreds, or maybe all you can do is a cup of tea and a store-bought piece of cake. We can all serve. We can all show hospitality. We can all help. We can all give love. We can all care. And so the question is, what abilities, what powers, what resources about who God has made you, but they're also partly about where God has placed you. And so the relationships that we have around us, the context of the community we live in, the context of our church and the needs of our church, they all shape the gifts that God has given us. Maybe you live in a retirement village or a nursing home and you've got particular gifts that you wouldn't have if you didn't live there. Maybe they're in your growth group. There's someone who's struggling with doubts and needs someone to encourage them in a particular way that actually you might not have in another growth group, except we will in all the growth groups. Maybe you know someone who's struggling to manage the practical tasks around their home. See, your context, your relationships, where God has placed you, also shapes the gifts that He's giving you as you look and say, well, can I help here at all? So a question we need to ask is, first, what abilities and resources and skills has God given me? But then, what people and opportunities has God placed around me where I have some power and ability to help them in some way? And so, as we come to the end of our time in the Scripture this morning, I want to encourage you to look around. Look around. Keep your eyes open and your ears open. What ministries has God already given you that you haven't yet invested in? What ministries are right there where there's a need that you in some way can help meet, and you haven't yet, as a steward of those gifts, made the most of that opportunity? At home, at church, in the community, in your growth group, in your serving team, where do you see needs that you can contribute to? Now, if you're still thinking, I need someone to help me with this, well, there's a whole room full of people here who who would be great to help you. Ask a Christian that you look up to or respect. Maybe ask your growth group if you're in one. Ask your friends, well, where do you think I could serve? See, the big idea this morning is there is no greater responsibility than to use all the resources and power God's given us to serve him by serving others. And our vision as a church, as we've seen it grow through these past weeks, is that every member living for God's glory, treasuring and building his church, aching and striving for lost people to be saved, chasing maturity together, and using our gifts to serve Christ and his church. So our question of the day, how are you putting God's gifts to work? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have gifted us in so many ways. Lord, please give us eyes to see the gifts that you've given us, the opportunities you've given us, the skills, the resources, the power, the time, the treasure, the talent to use for your glory. And may you help us use it to serve you in your church. Amen.